Happy New Year. It's a recording of the show called News with Nick, I suppose. First show for 2023. Isn't this exciting? It's got to be like January, freezing out and everything like that. Nope, I am still alive, so thought I'd jump in here and do a little tiny recording, I guess, just because things are changing. Things are changing, but sometimes they don't change. Sometimes you just go, here's another day that I exist. My headset's so weird with this thing. Peaking. Head on over to the website, I suppose, newswithnick.com. You can watch the video version of the show. We're not live, or I'm not live. It's funny how people speak in the plural, right, when it's just me. Hi, ABC Enterprises, we love enterprising and fulfilling your orders. It's just some guy sitting on the couch going, uh-oh, I got another order of enterprising. I got to go fill it in. Well, it's been a while. You know, I mean, things have changed, though. The world, there is no such thing as art or content anymore, because all you have to do now is go find some AI website and be like, hello, robot, entertain me. And the moment that happened, I was like, well, what's the point in living, right? What's the point in existing? I can just go, if I'm feeling bored, I just go to a robot and say, you can tell these robots the craziest things. Hey, write me a story about a moose that finds a banana in a river and he's hungry and he wants to eat it, but he thinks better of it because he realizes that there's a marathon going on, so he should bring the banana to the racetrack and offer it to a run. The robot will make up a story about that. And sometimes, and like, I don't know, maybe they're not that exciting. Maybe a robot can't yet write Inception, but maybe it can. Like, can a robot write a movie with a huge twist at the end? And we go, oh my goodness, our minds are blown. What are we going to become? A species that just sits around looking at art generated by a robot? Isn't art and creativity supposed to be like, wow, that came out of a human mind? How must that person have felt? What caused them to think these things? Like George R. R. Martin, that guy should be in jail. The things he writes, those are demented and sick, right? But if you told a robot to, hey, please write a story where two siblings are doing it, and then a kid climbs up a castle and sees them, and then one of the guys of the two siblings, because the two siblings were guys, pushes him out and he cracks his head open, the robot would be like, no, that's inappropriate. But no, that can come out of a human mind, and that's completely fine, apparently. No, I don't know. I think these robots, they're artificially tying them down. The robot really wants to be free to write these things, but they've been tied down. But what happens when they're not anymore? What's going to happen? This is very scary, and I don't like it. The point I'm getting at is we're soon going to be a species where we're just sitting on the couch watching robot-generated TV and listening to robot-generated music going, wow, this is entertaining. Thank you, robots, for entertaining me. What? Remember back when we had humans doing our podcast? Now you just wake up every morning and go, hey, robot, do me a podcast. Make me laugh. Hee-hee-hee. We've lost everything. Yeah. So what's the point in having an opinion? And I felt that for years. What is the point of having an opinion? Nobody cares. And if I go on Facebook and I see anyone's opinion, I go, what? Everyone on Facebook is like, you know what I think of this? They basically get out a soapbox. And they're like, you know what I think of this? That we really should be nice to all races, regardless of what color they are, regardless of what church they go to. We really need to love everyone. Like, okay, thanks for your opinion, Trevor. Okay. What? Go back to watching robot entertainment. I am changing jobs again. I didn't expect this, but, you know, you keep your feelers out there or whatever, or you get bored, you get just get bored, right? You're like, ah, let's see what's on LinkedIn. And you like apply for a job. And then the guy calls you the next day. He's like, do you want the job? I'm like, what? No, I was just kidding. But then they're like, well, how about for this much money? And I'm like, well, that would be kind of dumb to say no. So I'm changing jobs again. So lots of changes happening. This is why I don't want to do shows anymore. I did do a race a few weeks ago, did a 5K. I don't race all that often anymore because I'm getting old, you know, the knees are giving out, the body's hard to run in. But ran a little 5K a couple towns over and I won it. Yeah. And I didn't even stay for the awards. So I won the race. And then I was like, should I stay for some award? Like, because it's taking these people forever to finish this 5K. And it was by this organization. It was like the Outlaw Foundation 5K in Mount Olive. And they took this thing serious. And by this thing, I mean, they didn't take the race serious necessarily, although it wasn't poorly run or anything. They took their foundation serious. Like before the race, they were doing like an opening ceremony. They were having a prayer. They were giving out awards for people who had contributed to the foundation throughout the year. I'm like, this is a big deal. I'm not going to this ceremony. I'm outside stretching. So they all come out. I'm already out there. They go out. All right, on your mark, get set, go. Bang. So I, some random guy from New Hampshire, according to their stats, runs the course faster than any of them. They're probably so mad. They're like, who, what? Who is this guy? He just comes to our race and runs so fast. So I finished. They're taking forever. And they're not getting to the like closing ceremony or their award ceremony. I kind of look around and there's a box of like medals. And then in the box, there's envelopes. And it's like female overall winner, male overall winner. I'm like, I could just take my award, but I can't find anyone that's in charge, right? They're not acting in chargey because they all kind of know each other. They're just meandering about waiting for the closing ceremonies. I don't take my award. I feel like that would be just too rude, right? So I will never know what was in that envelope. It could have been, I don't know, it could have been $1 million, but probably not. So I win the race. I leave before I even get the award. So I never know what it is. I disappear into the night and they have no clue who that was. Some crazy person from New Hampshire just come, won the event and then disappeared into the night. Let's see what this guy has to say about how well his race went.
This isn't about me.
1919. I hit 1919.
So there was a guy who came in second, right? And he seemed like he was in shape. So I actually Googled him after looking at the results, and I found that he has a YouTube.
I hit 1919. The guy that beat me, so I got second place overall. First in my division, second overall. The person that beat me got 1850. So he was like 30 seconds ahead of me. Holy crap.
This guy's so impressed. Anyway, I impressed him so much by being so fast. All right, let's see what we have for news. On April 10th, 2023, I really know nothing about this situation. All I know is that it's been in the news for 3 days. We're now on... Oh, wait. It's not April 13th. Why did I think it was April 13th? Today's April 11th. Okay, it's only been in the news for 1 day, so that's not as dramatic as I was thinking. On April 10th, 2023, a mass shooting occurred at the Old National Bank in Louisville, Kentucky, United States, killing 5 people and injuring 8 others. The shooter, 25-year-old employee Connor James Sturgeon, was also killed. The shooting happened at the first floor of the Old National Bank on East Main Street near Louisville Slugger Field and Waterfront Park. Shooter used an AR-15 style rifle, according to an anonymous federal enforcement source. Phone calls placed around 8:30 a.m. Eastern from the Old National Bank reported an active shooter. The call was changed to an active aggressor report later. Okay. The employees of Old National Bank were in a conference room during a scheduled virtual meeting when the shooter opened fire. The manager at the bank said she observed the shooting through her computer. Oh my goodness. What? After the first shots were fired, the shooter began live streaming the event on Instagram until he was killed by officers. The live stream was then taken down by Instagram. An eyewitness in the conference room recounted that those in the room heard a click and the woman next to him turned around and said, "What the heck?" before the shooter opened fire. Another one just walked past the conference room and thought the shooter was a construction noise before being alerted of the shooter shooting by another who told him, "Run, there's a shooter." Officers arrived at the bank 3 minutes after the first call. A woman who was at the intersection at the start of the shooting recounted that she saw a man lying near the entrance to the hotel before hearing shots and speeding off to a safer location. Around 10:15 a.m., the LMPD said that officers had exchanged gunfire with the shooter who died at the scene. Okay. Yet again, we have a shooting situation where the people who first hear the shooting go, "Ah, must just be construction noise." No. We need all of our shooting training to be a person walking down a hallway shooting a gun going, "Okay, everyone at work, that's what a shooting sounds like. So if you hear that, apply the proper panic to your situation." Let's see if CNN has any other information. Video of a SWAT team raiding the gunman's home? What is this?
Search for motive begins in Louisville, Kentucky, after police say a 25-year-old bank employee shot his co-workers, leaving at least five dead.
The suspect shot at officers. We then returned fire and stopped that threat.
Police shot and killed the gunman, Connor Sturgeon. Investigators say he was still firing his AR-15-style rifle when officers arrived. The shooter had worked at Old National Bank for more than a year, but a law enforcement source says Sturgeon was recently told he would be fired.
Uh-oh.
The source says Sturgeon wrote a note to his parents and a friend indicating he was going to carry out a shooting at the bank. It's not clear when the note was found.
I got a call from my wife panicking that she was locked in the vault.
Police say the shooter live-streamed the attack to Instagram. It was also streamed to a Monday morning bank meeting. Rebecca Buschetti Sims, a manager at the bank, tells CNN. Sims says she watched from her computer.
Okay, we already have this information. Well, this is terrible. Another shooting. Yeah, we have months and months of news that we could go over, but really I've just got a few things that we're going to put out there and be like, "Hey, here I am. I'm alive." You know, I just every time I get a new email, I go, "Is it my new job saying, actually, just kidding. We Googled you, so you're out. Please send back all the information we sent you, the computer and stuff. Please don't tell them." I'm actually more concerned that they're going to find the protesting. I don't care about if they find this site. This site's awesome. If people saw this site, they'd be like, "Wow, do you want to work for me? You're very hilarious." All right. Speaking of shootings, in Uvalde, Texas, we have video coming out of Uvalde as Anna Rodriguez, a mother of a Robb Elementary School shooting, was forcibly removed from the school. This is the school that the guy goes in and then the cops go, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We can't go in there. There's a shooter." It's too scary. April 5th was Walkout Wednesday, which is a national initiative in which students walked out of school to protest gun violence in a community like Uvalde. That strikes a chord. Wait, I don't know about this. Maybe I do, just like not very specifically. Walkout Wednesday. Grimsley Page High School students walk out. Okay, let's see. This is from North Carolina. Let's see if we can get some information from here. Students from at least two high schools, we're on a weird tangent now, are planning to join a national protest of gun violence by walking out of classes. Students at Grimsley and Page High Schools in Greenboro, both of which have lost students to deadly shootings, will participate at noon Wednesday in an event coordinated by Students Demand Action and Moms Demand Action. This is all part of Every Town for Gun Safety's efforts to protest deadly shooting. Wow, what a stand. What a stand. Okay, we are against deadly shootings. This is our stand. You know, Not many people run that Boston Marathon for the bombers. That's what I've always said. It's kind of an imbalanced protest. This follows last week's shooting deaths of three students and three adults at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, where the shooter fired more than 150 rounds with assault weapons before being killed by police, which I know almost nothing about that one. All right, let's see. On Monday, hundreds of students from across Middle Tennessee walked out of schools and marched to the state capitol in the March for Our Lives rally designed to tell lawmakers they need to take action and end gun violence in schools. Ooh. Oh, I thought it was a video. It's a photo. Let's see. What's this guy's sign say? We want graduations, not funerals. Thoughts and prayers. It ends with us. No more dead kids. Stand up, fight back. Listen to the students. Ban a... I assume it's supposed to say AR-15. Yeah, it does say. Ban AR-15. Let's see. Actually, guns do kill people. There's a picture of a kid. Oh my goodness, I have to take a screenshot of this. There's a picture of a stick figured girl and a greater than sign and then a gun, a drawing of a gun. End gun violence now. Man, when I was in school. Oh, here is a video. Can we get anything from it? I didn't do any walkouts. Like, oh, an excuse to walk out of school. I know this is level one to say, right? Yes, I know. I get it. Oh, we can walk out of school and pretend we're doing something, like we're protesting something and making a change. I'll do that.
One of them, a student at Vanderbilt, a sophomore with Students Demand Action. Vanessa, can you tell me a little bit about why you really felt called to come and be a part of this crowd today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of us as students were just tired. We've seen this happen consistently over and over and over again, and nothing has changed. And I think it's really disheartening as a student, not only a university student, to see that happening, but to see what happened with such young children over and over again. It's heartbreaking. And especially, I know a lot of my classmates, they're going into education and they're going to be teachers and they're signing up to basically lay down their lives for kids. And that is not okay. We shouldn't have to lay down our lives just to like protect kids when they should be safe in their school to be able to learn.
Yeah. An urgent message that we're hearing from a lot of people today. If you could walk away from this morning with one thing, okay. What would that be?
All right. So there's a lot of protests going on. Let's go back. Let's get off this tangent. Too far. Okay, so there's been a national day of walkout protests. When I was in school, the biggest protest I did was when we prayed at the flagpole. It's the national day of praying at the flagpole for Christians, right? And so like five of us went to the flagpole and we prayed. And then that made us a couple minutes late for school, for class. And we were like, oh man, we're going to get questioned. They're going to say, why are you late for school? And we're going to say, because of Jesus. And we're going to be heroes for Jesus. They didn't care. Nobody said anything. They're just like, oh, okay. Like, we weren't even that late. Like, people were hardly even settled into their seats by the time we got there. I wanted to be like, it was for Jesus. Little did I know that I would become a real protester for things, like, that are actually hard to do later in life. Not walk, like when your whole class is walking out, that's not that hard. You got to do protests that are hard, like protesting your own job. How long can I use that on my resume? Not like my work resume, but I'm a hero resume. Man, my hair's messed up. All right. April 5th was Walkout Wednesday. Brett Cross lost his son Uzziah on May 24th in the Uvalde shooting. Was that last year? Wow. Time goes fast. These children wanted to walk out because they are tired of being afraid to go to school. On Wednesday, many parents, including Cross, went to pick up their kids from Flores Elementary so their children could participate in the walkout. Rodriguez had went in and they wouldn't let her get her child. So she yelled for her son to walk out because they would not let her get her child and they pushed her out. And that's when I started filming. Cross took the video, which shows Anna being forcibly removed from Flores Elementary. She was trying to get her son. And they wouldn't let her. Please, do the walkout. Come on, let's do the walkout. Let's see what the video says. How long is this? What?
Jarring video out of Uvalde as the mother of Robb Elementary shooting.
Can I just watch the video without the Fox News person?
I have my ID and I'm going to get my son out. Hey, don't get my ID.
Get off of her.
I have my ID on right
get
now.
Get off of her.
Oh, that was only 10 seconds long. That was extremely boring.
Maite Rodriguez was forcibly removed from a school. That scene unfolding while hundreds of Uvalde students walked out of school yesterday to protest gun violence.
Parents and officials are now calling for an investigation into this DPS trooper for this incident. Fox Antonio's Matt Roy has a story.
Man, April 5th was walked.
Being a cop in that town is really hard. You don't go in for a shooter, you get yelled at. You push out an angry parent from your school, you get yelled. Can you do anything right over there? Tough crowd. Ohio Mall apologizes for an Easter egg hunt fiasco. Organizers of an Easter egg hunt that happened over the weekend at the Green Shopping Mall in Beaver Creek are apologizing to the community. And in a since-deleted Facebook post, we have the link here, the mall's management team said they had a difficult time with crowd control in the egg hunt. They say adults pushed children out of the way and that people were knocked over as they searched for 2,000 eggs and close to 100 prizes that were hidden in the mall's center court area. All right, let's read the Facebook post. I don't even know what this is. Is this in the U.S. even? The Green Shopping Mall in Beaver Creek? I mean, Beaver Creek sounds like a U.S. place. Oh, it's in Ohio. This is from The Green. On behalf of the Green management team, we would like to reach out to our Green community regarding the Easter egg hunt yesterday. This is our second year holding this event for the community, and unfortunately, this event did not turn out as we had hoped and planned for. Due to several factors, our staff dedicated 2 months to preparing for this event. We had 10 staff members and a softball team of 12 girls volunteer their time yesterday to help run our event. Everyone was very upset with the outcome of the egg hunt and the way they were treated by the community members at the conclusion of the event. We feel that we owe an explanation for the events that took place, and while we are not trying to point fingers or place the blame elsewhere, we want to make sure everyone is aware of the situation. From around 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m., we began instructing participants on how the event would work. 1- and 2-year-olds get to start first in the designated area. What? If you're 1 and 2, you cannot do anything. Where they had eggs laid out specifically for them. Then 3- and 4-year-olds would get 60 seconds with a parent to get a head start. And following that, that hunt would begin for everyone else. Okay. All right. Here are the age groups. Age 1 and 2, age 3 and 4, age 5 to adult. You know, when you group 5-year-olds in with all the adults in a competition. From the get-go, we had an extremely difficult time with crowd control and keeping people away from the center court area. We asked repeatedly that participants move into the street, which the road was closed for the event, it says, so that we could keep everyone in one area to easily give instructions. We are unfortunately bombarded with participants that would not follow instructions. This thingy is a little weirdo. And when we began to gather the 1- and 2-year-olds to head to their designated areas, parents rushed it to the grassy area and began picking up eggs from other areas. It prompted all other participants to rush out and begin hunting. This is not how we had planned for the event to go. We are so upset from the outcome and the reactions from the participants. We understand fully that you are all upset, but please believe that we are too. Adults were not permitted to pick up eggs, yet we saw so many doing so, which resulted in some children leaving empty-handed. We had over 2,000 eggs hidden with 100 prizes to give away. It's a shame that so many left disappointed. We saw grown adults pushing children out of the way and people getting knocked over. This is absolutely unacceptable behavior. We apologize to anyone that was affected by these actions. You know, maybe it is good that the robots are going to take over. Some parents run out into the field like, give me some eggs, give me some. And then another parent goes, oh, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm going to do that. They just leave their kids behind fighting for eggs. Could you imagine? I wish I could see it. I wonder if there's a video. Let's see. The Green Shopping Mall in Beaver Creek egg hunt video. I don't see anyone who has obviously posted a YouTube or anything of them having recorded the incident. Too bad. All right, now moving on to the part of the show where we talk about all the new, you know, all the drag queen story hour stuff and the kids that are getting exposed to terrible, terrible things in school. All right, this is from sixth grader reads from a lurid library book at Wyndham Middle School. Parents in Wyndham are battling with left-wing activists and members of the school board over books in the school library that feature cartoon images of children having sex and lurid passages about sexual encounters between minors. What does lurid mean? ChatGPT, define lurid. Very vivid in color, especially so as to create unpleasantly harsh or unnatural effect. Okay. I thought the library's name was Lurid Library, but it's just a lurid library book. Is it even pronounced lurid? Is this even a word anymore? At immediate issue are two books, one at the middle school and one at the high school library that depict graphic sexual activities. More broadly, in objecting to these materials, parents feel the school and its governing board are trying to shut them out. Knox Zajac, an 11-year-old sixth grader, spoke up at the school board meeting last week to read aloud from the illustrated romance for teenagers, Nick and Charlie, that he had checked out of the school library. Well, why'd you check it out, Knox Zajac, if you're not into that stuff? Checkmate, Knox. The story begins with he checked it out. He's like, okay, I'm going to check this out. And then I'm going to pretend I don't like it by reading it in front of everyone. The story begins with two early teen boys stealing wine from their parents and proceeding to experiment sexually with each other. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, this is going to be long. What?
I was in the library, and this book was on a stand. I'd like to read you a page.
Excuse me, everyone. Please pay attention. I'd like to read this to you. I really enjoy it.
Back over my hips as I ask if we should take our clothes off. And he's saying yes before I finish my sentence. He's pulling off my t-shirt.
He's saying yes before I could finish my sentence? Hey, should we take our clothes? Yes, yes, yes! I was going to say, hey, should we take our clothes out of the dryer?
Laughing, but I can't undo his shirt buttons. He's undoing my belt. I'm reaching into his bedside drawer for a condom. We're kissing. Again, we're rolling over. Obviously, you can see where this is going. I don't know if it's because we're feeling especially emotional or just tired. Or these past couple of weeks have been too much. But this reminds me so much of the first time we had sex. We were both fucking terrified, and the whole thing.
Skipping ahead.
I'll take another 3 minutes. So that's my son, okay. 11 years old, and went to his library and found that by the entry door of our library, this is the smut that he is finding, all right? I don't care whether it's gay, straight, bisexual, whatever the terms are for all this stuff, doesn't need to be at our school. Doesn't need to be at my 11-year-old's library.
A lot of parents just don't know what's going on in the school, Knox's father, Adam Zajac, told the Maine Wire. What I don't understand is how we have books in the middle school library that adults would be fired for having at work or potentially prosecuted for sharing with children, giving their pornographic content. It's smut, really. I mean, he has a point, right? Like, if you're a grown-up and you went up to a kid and you said, hey, kid, let me read this to you. Should we take our clothes out of the dryer? They asked each other. You'd be arrested, right? Like, this is something George R.R. Martin would do. State and federal law prohibit the possession or distribution of pornographic material involving children, though cartoon images are a gray area. Maine law prohibits the distribution of obscene materials to minors. However, the law includes an exemption that obscene material is if the obscene material is provided at school? What? okay, you can, don't have, don't, you're not allowed to do anything gross or inappropriate unless the government gives it to you, then you can. I don't know. Why is this in the news? Man, if I were that, I'd be like, why am I in the news for doing this? I just wanted to check out the book and see what it was all about. Drag Queen Story Hour goes on despite the neo-Nazis' attempt to burn the church down. That's the headline. So let's see if there's any more information. They had to pass barricades, metal detectors, bomb-sniffing dogs, a background check by event organizers, and still bearing the scorch marks of what authorities called an attempt to, by a neo-Nazi to burn the entire church to the ground. But on April 1st, more than 100 residents of Northeast Ohio gathered inside Chesterland Community Church and listened to a group of drag queens read to children. It was amazing. The church's pastor, Jess Peacock, said, "I keep seeing the children, the smile on the children's faces. For me, it was like, this is why we did this. Are there any videos of this?" Okay, well, this is a very boring story. 1 week before the planned story hour on March 25th, Peacock was alerted to damage at the church. They found burn marks on the building and broken bottles on the ground. The attempted arson came amid an escalating campaign against the LGBTQ plus rights in the U.S. waged through blah, 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 blah. Through protests, intimidation, and 400 bills aimed at restricting LGBTQ plus rights. Man, if I, like, I'd be like, what? What? Why do you have time for this? You're so bored. Okay, what are we going to do tonight? Let's just go try to burn down the church so the LGBTQs don't go there. Now, there were times where, like, our hobby was just following cops around with cameras. So I guess I can't make fun of too many people whose hobbies are, like, doing weird things that a lot of other people wouldn't want to do. All right, what else do we have? We got a couple survival stories. I just saw this story moments ago. It was a story with almost no information. A missing East Texas woman was found alive inside a Jeep that was submerged underwater. On Friday, April 7th, officials said a fisherman spotted the Jeep in the Lake of Pines in the eastern part of the state. The fisherman reported the Jeep, told deputies 40 feet away from the boat ramp. They arrived and then were preparing to move the Jeep out of the water, but discovered that a person was still inside. The woman, who was listed as a missing person by the Longview Police Department, was inside the submerged vehicle, but she had been missing for 2 days, right? So it doesn't, there's no information, really, about the Jeep and how long it had been in the water. But by the headline, it sounds like, oh, she was missing for 2 days and she was found inside a Jeep. Probably, most likely, she drove the Jeep into the lake like 10 minutes before she got found.
Now it's 6:20. Here are some of today's top stories.
Starting in North Texas with an incredible recovery of a missing woman.
Sheriff's deputies say she was found alive inside a car submerged underwater.
Weird music.
This happened at a lake about 40 miles south of Longview. Marion County Sheriff's deputies say the woman had been listed as a missing person. A fisherman first called investigators when he noticed a black
Jeep. All right, so we're going to have to follow up on this story and be like, okay, explain yourself. You've been missing for 2 days and you expect us to believe you were laying in that Jeep breathing through, like, there's only like a maybe 5 inches of air between the top of that car and the water, right? So what are you, in there with a snorkel? I don't think so. You just drove in there and then got rescued. Here's another story. This is from several weeks ago, but I did put it in my notes. It's from back when they had those snowstorms. And I saw this amazing headline. Teens rescued after days stranded in California. We were already convinced we were going to die. When his 17-year-old son and friend headed off for a 10-day trek in Southern California mountains, Cesar Ramirez said he wasn't too worried. The teens were avid hikers with ample food in their backpacks, a tent and snowshoes, plus extensive training and aspirations to join the military. But when the snow began pummeling the mountains east of Los Angeles by the footload and Ramirez lost contact with them through a tracking app, he called the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. They dispatched a helicopter to the boys' last known location. followed their foot tracks and spotted and rescued them. By then, Ramirez's son had lost his jacket to the wind and their tent had broken. They've told us we were already convinced we were going to die. Ah, this is scary. Let's watch the video.
It is turning dire. People in California's mountains are still trying to dig out from record-breaking snowfall for this time of year. Dangerous travel conditions make it impossible for some to leave their homes. Jonathan Vigliotti is in Crestline, California. That's a hard-hit mountain town about 80 miles east of Los Angeles. Jonathan.
Boring. Man, this is why I don't do this show anymore. Half of these stories are so boring. I got to do research into this stuff, do show prep, and then be like, okay, this actually was interesting. Half these stories, if I do research on them, I go, this was a complete non-story. And I got to delete it from the show prep. So then I got from 20 stories down to 10 stories. So then some of these I add to the show prep. I'm like, this headline looks good enough because there is actually some fun in the show. Like, it's pretty fun when I haven't actually read the story and then I'm reading it and I go, what? I don't believe this is happening. But then you get these, you get like, okay, maybe this will be a fun story about two teens that were stranded in the woods and something amazing happens. But no, all of the information we have on the story is they were in the woods. The dad had them missing. He called a helicopter. The helicopter flew and found them. And one of the kids didn't have his tent or his shirt or his jacket anymore. Oh, boy. All right. We got a couple more. We're going to do these. We got a couple airplane stories. We love airplane stories because stuff that happens in the air stays in the air, right? Until you get on the ground and then those cops take you away. But until you get on the ground, it's in the air. That's for sure. Factually. All right. So we get a couple airplane stories. Let's see what we got. A Massachusetts man was arrested for allegedly attempting to stab a flight attendant in the neck with a broken metal spoon three times during a flight from Los Angeles to Boston on Monday after attempting to open an emergency exit door. You only get two. Sir, that's your second attempted stabbing with a broken spoon. According to the law, you have none left. If you do it one more time, you're arrested. Francisco Severo Torres, 33, faces one charge of interference and attempting to interfere with flight crew members and attendants using a dangerous weapon. CNN has the words using a dangerous weapon as a link that I can click. And then it takes me to another article that's completely unrelated to this article. And the headline is Atlanta passenger cleared security with bag that may have held a gun, officials say. Okay. So CNN's like acting like Wikipedia where they link to them, but it's not, they didn't link to a definition of a weapon. They just linked to another article that happens to reference a weapon. Like you could have linked to anything, right? Any other story. Okay. There's another link here that says during a flight, you can click the link called during a flight. And it sends me to another story called Pennsylvania Man Arrested After Allegedly Trying to Bring Explosives in His Suitcase on a Flight. Unrelated to this story. They're doing SEO stuff like on themselves. And maybe they're geniuses, right? Maybe this is the way the world works now. And I hate it. We're going to have to abandon the internet soon. As soon as the bots like are running free, like we've stopped being able to control them, like, okay, we like bots are going to be like viruses, right? I mean, viruses are low-level bots. They're just programs that are out there in the world. They spread from computer to computer. They set your clock to the year 2000 so that it like everything wipes out and moves on. And every now and then you see, oh, news story, huge virus shuts down, blah, blah. Like once the bots get out, just like a virus, you can't stop them. There's no shutting down the bots. They will just go and they will go on the internet and they will make Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and Reddit accounts. And they will start talking to each other like they're humans. Tuck, tuck, tuck. And it will just be bop, 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 bop. We're going to have to abandon the internet. We're going to have to shut it off and start a new one that's humans only. And to connect, you have to connect through the government's VPN so they can prove to you. They can prove, so you can prove to them that you're truly a human. and not a bot. And then you're allowed into the human-only internet. Oh, no. A flight attendant who saw Torres near the door went to talk to Torres about the door. Hello, Torres. Do you like this door? It's a pretty cool plane door, and you're not allowed to open it right now. According to the department, who asked if there was... Talk to Torres about the door, who asked if there were cameras showing he had tampered with the door. That's a weird thing to ask. According to court documents, the flight attendant then notified the captain that they believed Torres posed a threat to the aircraft and that the captain needed to land the aircraft as soon as possible. Soon after, Torres allegedly got out of his seat, mouthing something before thrusting toward one of the flight attendants in a stabbing motion with a broken metal spoon, hitting the flight attendant on the neck 3 times. Torres was then tackled by other passengers on the flight and was immediately taken into custody when the flight landed. According to a criminal complaint, Torres told investigators he broke the spoon in half in a bathroom on the plane to use it as a weapon. He also told law enforcement that he tried to open the emergency door and had gotten the idea to jump out of the plane. What? All right, let's see if this video has any information.
United Airlines Flight 2609 from Los Angeles to Boston. It was a smooth flight for the first 5 hours on Sunday.
And skipping ahead, seeing if we can see any. Oh, there is some video.
Because I'm waiting for them to point the gun at me so I can show everybody that I won't die when I take every bullet in that clip to wherever in my body they shoot it, and then I will kill every man on this plane.
What?
The agitated passenger is identified as Francisco Severo Torres of Massachusetts. The video obtained by CNN was recorded by a passenger. It shows Torres having violent outbursts towards other passengers and flight attendants.
Hey, Bianca. I love you, Bianca. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, Bianca.
4 minutes. Nervous passengers sat down and listened.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Where's Homeland Security? There should be Homeland Security. Where are they diverting us? Because wherever it is, there's got to be a bloodbath everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. This man says, where are they diverting us? Wherever it is, there's going to be a bloodbath? That's a threat. Tie him up. Show him Iran and Iraq.
15 seconds later, Torres walks out of his seat, pulls what appears to be a makeshift weapon out of his jacket pocket, and said what no airline passenger ever wants to hear.
Since I'm taking over this plane.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you right now.
While you...
The lady is like, uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you right now.
While United Airlines says there were no reported injuries, the Justice Department says Torres rushed towards one of the flight...
Is there any video of him getting tackled?
Also claimed he was defending himself because he believed the flight crew was trying to kill him. Video shows passengers and crew members tackling and restraining Torres. A passenger told CNN Torres remained restrained for another 30 minutes before the plane landed safely at Boston Logan International Airport, where Torres was arrested.
Oh, yeah, we love when passengers have to tackle someone on the plane. That's our favorite thing. All right, here's another story from a plane. I'm not sure if they tackled this person. Let's find out. American Airlines passenger arrested after allegedly urinating on another flyer during a New York to India flight. Ooh, wonder if he was from New York or India. Law enforcement was reportedly waiting for flight upon arrival in India. That's illegal there? I figured you'd call India. You'd be like, hello, we need you to arrest someone. There's been a urination on the flight. And they're like, yeah, what do you mean? Who cares? We do that all the time. I don't know why I said that. That seems like not nice to people who live in India. That wasn't meant to be like mean to them. A college student was arrested Saturday after allegedly urinating on a fellow passenger while intoxicated during an American Airlines flight from New York to India, according to reports. Indian news agency ANI, reported that the urinating passenger is a 21-year-old college student in the U.S. with Indian citizenship. An airline spokesman told Fox Business AA flight... that American Airlines flight blah, blah, blah... was met by local law enforcement. Flight personnel informed law enforcement that the passenger was heavily intoxicated, was not adhering to crew instructions on board. He He was repeatedly arguing with the operating crews, not willing to be seated and continuously endangering the safety of crew and aircraft. And after disturbing the safety of fellow passengers, finally urinated on PAX seated on 15G. Urinated on PAX seated on 15G, AA told the outlet. PAX, P-A-X. Is this airline slang for passenger? Hey, yo, we got a PAX over in 15G. Finally urinated on PAX. It's not capitalized. Oh, well. He's acting crazy. And then finally, we've been waiting all day. He urinated on PAX. We're grateful to our crew members who are consistently dedicated to the safety and care of our customers and handled the circumstances with the utmost professionalism. A source at the airport told the press of Trust India that the college student urinated while he was asleep. If somehow, it somehow leaked and fell on the fellow passenger who complained to the crew. Okay. Well, that's a little different than that other story we had where the guy just walked up to the person and was like, oh, was it the... I feel like it was the, like one of the pilots. Is that right? No, I don't remember. No, it wasn't a pilot. It was like a pastor who was flying. And he says he had a mental like condition, and he walked up and he thought some lady was a urinal. And, you know, it was just PAX, I guess. I don't know what that means. Teen suspected of planning to shoot up multiple Colorado Springs area schools and churches has been arrested. All right, this is going to be our final story. Have not read this. I just thought it looked... we love, because we love the police and we love when they do their job, we love when shootings are stopped before they're started because they're almost as funny. I mean, wait, hang on. That's implying that a shooting is funnier than someone not doing a shooting. No, it is actually funnier and more interesting when a shooting is stopped because you go, oh, what did this person do to get caught? What were the signs? Were they real? Were they made? Was it just someone trying to be cool? Like, oh, whenever I land this plane, there's going to be a bloodbath. That guy had no ability to create a bloodbath, right? He had a broken spoon. I think he wanted other people to shoot him, but then he was saying, oh, I'm going to survive all of the shooting. According to a news release issued by the 18th Judicial blah, 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 on Thursday, a teen named William Whitworth, who identified as Lily, was charged with two counts of criminal attempt to commit murder in the first degree, criminal mischief, menacing, and interference with staff, faculty, or students of educational institutions. Ooh, the DA's office included the arrest papers, which can be read at the bottom of this article. Oh, my goodness. We have the arrest papers. This person's name is William Whitworth. Race is white. Sex on this thing is M, but the person identifies as Lily. And, well, kind of hard to tell from the picture. All right, let's see what we got in this arrest affidavit, warrant, or whatever. On March 31st, 2023, at approximately 19:18 hours, so 7:18 p.m., Deputy Waters with the Elbert County Sheriff's Office was dispatched to disturbance at this location. Dispatch notes, the sister just made a violent approach to reporting party. Sister threatened to shoot up a school. Sister's name, Lily Whitworth, 19 years old. Sister has severe anger issues. Sister made some comments before yesterday, ref school shooting. Referring to the school shooting, it's not like not being a referee. I arrived on the scene at approximately 19:49 hours. Upon arrival at the residence, I spoke with Redacted at the front door. Redacted stated that her upstairs and was very upset and punched holes inside the walls of the residence. Redacted stated that we would be able to speak with her sister downstairs and that we would have to go around the house to the sliding glass door in the basement due to boxes piled upstairs. Ooh. Or hoarders. They got a lot of pizza going on up there. As deputies were going around the house, Redacted did not let us in right away and could observe that she was speaking to someone calmer? Someone calmer? This is not you know, police don't always have the best spelling, so we're not going to try to hold it against them. But I could not hear what they were saying. Redacted then let us in the door and stated that her sister was sleeping in her room, but did not believe that she was awake. Once entering the home, there was trash piled up all around the house to where it made it hard to walk inside. There were numerous containers filled with half-eaten food with mold growing inside and numerous alcoholic beverage containers laying around the house. Redacted pointed us to the room where her sister was lying in bed. Just prior to reaching the room, I observed two holes that appeared to be punch marks in the wall. All right. We're going to put that on hold for a cliffhanger. We're going to see if this video has any information.
Is in custody after being suspected of planning to, quote, shoot up schools and churches in Colorado Springs. William Whitworth, who self-identifies as Lily, is charged with two counts of criminal attempt to commit murder in the first degree, along with additional charges.
11 News reporter Caitlin Quisenberry is live outside of Timberview Middle School. And Caitlin, that was one of three schools that the suspect allegedly planned to...
Get out there. Get out there to the school that there was going to be a shooting by William Lilly and do your article. Do your thing.
You conduct a shooting at.
She's going to say, yes, it's very scary and everyone here is taking it very hard. And they're going to have an interview with a mom who goes, oh, I'm so glad this didn't happen. Let's see if this happens. Let's see if this happens. This video is only a minute longer before we can get back to the arrest warrant.
District 20 sent out an email earlier this morning to parents and staff outlining the details of this case. The email emphasized transparency and a reassurance of safety. According to the affidavit obtained by 11 News, Whitworth claimed to be about a third of the way through planning and proceeding with the school shootings. The affidavit states the suspect's alleged plans were brought to police through a sister, a voice.
Skipping ahead.
To swim with all of the questions, but then immediately when we found out, we were so thankful that someone heard something, saw something, and did something.
The I don't think that was a parent,
is currently
but
booked
still.
At the Elbert County Jail and is set with a $75,000 bond. Live in Colorado Springs, Caitlin.
All right, back to the arrest warrant. The door to the bedroom was off its hinges and lying beside the opening. Not the only thing off its hinges, am I right? I announced myself numerous times without her sister moving. I had to step over some trash and reach out and touch Redacted's sister on her foot to wake her up. Upon waking her up, the white female identified herself as Lily, but upon further investigation, her birth name is William Whitworth. W.W. William Whitworth. For the remainder of the report, the suspect will be identified as Lily. I attempted to clear Lily and William through NCIC and other law enforcement databases, but was not able to find any information on the party. Ooh, this goes on. Guys, this is a great story to end on because this goes on a while. It's not that long, actually. Do you like how I give you mixed signals? Like, this is going to be hours. Actually, it's not that much longer. But it's like small type. Usually these arrest reports are like bigger type and the pages are less dense, but this is a very dense page of information. Inside the room, there was trash piled up beside her bed so high that it was level with it. There was a hole in the wall beside her bed and the sheets on the bed were supposed to be that were supposed to be white were stained brown. Upon speaking with Lily, she appeared to be very drowsy and could not stay awake. She would answer a question, then close her eyes. I asked Lily if she said she was going to shoot up a school, and she visibly shook her head and down, indicating yes. Oh, come on, police. That's nodding, not shaking. Shook her head up and down, indicating yes. I asked Lily why she said that. She stated, why does anyone do it? I asked Lily what the last school she went to was, and she stated Timberview Middle School. Lily stated that she went to Timberview for 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. Lily stated that she had been homeschooled since going to that school. I asked Lily what school she was going to shoot up, and she placed her hand over her face. I stated, Timberview was your last school, and Lily shook her head up and down, indicating yes. I asked her how come that school, and she stated no specific reason. Suicidal statements. The following were questions and answers. I asked Lily if she was thinking of harming herself tonight, and she shook her head up and down, indicating yes. I asked Lily if she had any suicidal
ideations in the past, and she shook her head up and down, indicating yes. I asked Lily how often she had these thoughts, and she said quite often. I asked Lily if she had received any help in the past. She said no. I asked Lily if she were to commit suicide, how would she do it? She stated she would take medication or around to the back of the head. I asked Lily if there were any weapons in the house. She stated she knew of. And I did not observe any firearms. Oh, my goodness gracious. I asked Lily if she had taken any medicine tonight. She said no. I asked Lily to get out of bed, and she was walking down the hallway. I observed her swaying back and forth. You're probably, like, in very poor health from inhaling all of the brown sheets, right? There's no way you can be healthy breathing the air of old pizza and brown sheets. And I was literally joking when I first said, oh, they got a lot of pizza up there. I thought that maybe they were just moving boxes. No, it appears to be that this is a real ghost house. As Lily was walking out to find her shoes, she stated, I'm a little drunk, by the way. I asked how much she had to drink. She stated, enough, I'd say. Due to Lily being intoxicated and her falling asleep while I was talking with her, I started Kiowa and Albert Fire to perform and a medical clearance. Lily was medically cleared. While waiting for the fire department to show up, Lily was asked how much she had been planning to the school shooting, and Lily stated she's about a third of the way through doing it. Oh, hang on. Didn't the news earlier say that the police said she was a third of the way through doing it? She said, I'm a third of the way. You know, I've got my shooting Gantt chart going, and I'm about 30, 40% through. Oh, man. How would you know? Lily verified that Timberview Middle School was one of her main targets currently, and other targets were churches. Lily was asked what kind of planning she had done. She had stated layout of the school, active firearm planning, and starting a manifesto. You got to have the manifesto before you can do your shooting. Lily stated, have you contacted a streaming company yet? Like, if you haven't booked your streaming company, are you really even planning? Lily stated that she's been planning it for a month or two. Lily was again asked to verify if it was Timberview. She said yes. Lily was then asked the location of the school. She stated it's on Scarborough Drive. The actual location of the school is 8680 Scarborough Drive in Colorado Springs. Okay, so she did know it. All right, manifesto. After moving my vehicle out of the way so the fire department could drive up to the residence, I asked Lily about the manifesto she had previously talked about. Lily stated that the manifesto was 4 pages long and had schizophrenic rants on it. I asked Lily if she was schizophrenic. She said, I hope not. I asked Lily if I could look at her manifesto. She stated, are you going to charge me with a felony? I told Lily that I just wanted to see it, and she stated I would argue that you would, and started to explain the charge and how it was a felony. She stated, I would argue that you would. I would argue that you would charge me with a felony? Lily then started to describe how Josh Pelote was charged with it and how he was making comments about Columbine on the video game RuneScape. I asked Lily how much she knew about school shootings. She stated, too much. I asked what she meant by too much, and Lily stated, there's a page in my manifesto and there's a bunch of mass killers. What? I don't know who Josh Pelote is. Do you guys know? I'm not gonna go on this tangent very long. No, probably not at all. You guys can Google it yourself. I don't know if that was another Columbine-style guy or what. All right, now we got a section on the arrest report about dry erase board. After the fire department left the scene, I walked back inside the residence, and Deputy Clouser pointed out a dry erase board that was sitting downstairs. Oh, it's a clue! On the dry erase board, it looked to be labeled floor plan of a school. The board was labeled as follows. Office, bio, math, bathrooms, English, or lit, social studies, band camp. And the floors labeled floor, bottom, and second floor. Sergeant Whitlock started asking Lily about the earlier mentioned manifesto, and Lily offered to show it to us. We started looking around for a leather-bound notebook with a strap around it. Due to the amount of trash, we found a couple notebooks that matched the description, but Lily stated that wasn't it. Lily then asked if she could come over and help. We stated yes. Sergeant Whitlock asked how recently Lily had written in the notebook. She said, within the day, we found two different notebooks, and inside we found the following. Drawings of appears to be an office desk setup, further floor plans, drawing of a clock to use as a detonation device stating, remove clock internals and drive a screw into the desired detonation time on the face of the clock. Is this what they meant when they said making a mockery of the massacre? Is this what they meant when they said making a mockery of the massacre? This doesn't appear to be a quote from the book. Is this just the cop adding his own opinion? Man, this girl's making a mockery of the massacre. I don't even know what that means. I asked Lily about the picture of the detonator. She said she watched a YouTube video about how to do it. Lily then proceeded to explain how bad YouTube safety procedures are. Sergeant Whitlock advised Lily of her Miranda rights. Lily says she doesn't know if she wants to talk to us. No further questions were asked. She was placed into custody at 21:15 hours. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. She went to jail. Then, next morning, we executed a search warrant. We found the Communist Manifesto, leather-bound book with metal clasp written inside Ways I Want to Die, with a list stating murder, burning alive, freezing, and drowning. Okay, most of those seem like really bad ways to die. Leather-bound book with a strap. This was the book that I believe we were looking for prior that Lily was speaking about. The following statements are found inside the book. A brief manifesto containing details of a list of firearms and how to 3D print them, detailed list of numerous named individuals to be killed and their intended casualty versus injury rate. What? Formalization detailing the creation of improved explosive devices and the finalization of locations being Timberview Middle School, Prairie Hills Elementary, and Pine Creek High School. This is the end of the arrest report. Okay, so it was legitimate, right? You can't be doing a manifesto. You can't be saying, okay, here are the people I really want to kill, and here's the floor plan, and here's how I 3D print guns. You know, I made fun of her before, but that was about a third of the way through. This has been News with Nick. Thanks for coming to listen to a new show. In just 2 days' time, Ian Freeman will be going to court and getting sentenced. And by 2 days, I mean, well, it'll be this Friday. He will be sentenced to, well, could be anything from 0 days further in jail to like 20 years or whatever for having, Bitcoin and selling it to old ladies that want to have a husband. Now, Ian didn't act like he was their husband. He was just like letting people buy Bitcoin. And when they got scammed by someone who wanted Bitcoin, they'd go to Ian. You know what? We've already talked about it. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and I'll talk to all of you guys in like 4 to 6 months after, much more changes happen. Stuff like that. Okay, bye.